grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world with all its need with the life that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Can I take a Bible?
Mm-hmm. First reading is from Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 78 responsibly. So God commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, raining down manna upon them to eat, and giving them grain from heaven. So mortals ate the bread of angels. God provided for them food enough. The Lord caused east winds to blow in heaven, and powerfully let out the south wind, raining down flesh upon them like dust, and flying birds like the sand of the seas, letting them fall in the midst of the camp, and round about the sides. So the people ate and were well filled, for God gave them what they craved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it said he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave some were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him and in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Do you like surprises? Depends. Some I like, others not so much. I got a surprise last week. My cousins, who are visiting from Japan, brought a number of gifts, lots of gifts, to honor my hospitality. And they even brought gifts for me to give to Pat, where I'm staying, because I should be hospitable, I should offer her gifts. So they brought gifts for me, they brought gifts for Pat, and they are beautifully wrapped things, and since I read no Japanese, I needed instruction or help on every package. And every package, other than the books, every package, the children said, they looked at it and then they said, "Sweets." So, at the first taste of this beautiful little cookie that was painted a beautiful flower on it, I'm thinking, a sweet. Took a taste, and I got a surprise. It was fish. It wasn't a sweet. It was a treat of this little fish cracker, and I'm not talking goldfish. This little fish cracker, it wasn't sweet, but it was a treat. Maybe that's the same word in Japanese. I don't like it when my mouth is surprised, when I'm expecting sweet and I get fish. I didn't like that surprise. My Aunt Carol is an expert when it comes to surprises. One time she frosted a cardboard box for her sister, made it look like a birthday cake. She loved to surprise people, and she always surprised people. It made me a little nervous to be around her because you never knew what was going to happen, and you always knew something was going to happen. So I was always kind of on edge around Carol, but she always made family gatherings quite great fun. Well, in today's gospel, in this, actually the whole gospel of John, Jesus is shown as somebody who really likes to surprise people. Today, we're on the second part of a five-part series of chapter 6, the Bread of Life chapter. And we'll be talking for the next few weeks about bread. So I hope no one's on the Atkins diet, because that's all you're going to be hearing. About bread, about the sacraments, and about who Jesus is, the identity of Jesus. So today we read about this Jesus who delights in surprising people. He comes and encounters this crowd and surprises them with what he has to say. And they are caught off guard, kind of like me with Aunt Carol. And they're not only surprised, but they're a little nervous with him. Last week we heard of this marvelous feeding of the 5,000, which, if you look at it, isn't such a bad surprise. A free and abundant dinner when you're hungry and tired, that's actually a pretty good surprise. But right after that miracle, Jesus left them on the shore, and the people were a bit confused, disappointed. So they went to look for him, and finally they find him on the other side of the lake. And that's where our story picks up today. Well, that encounter didn't go so well. First off, Jesus accuses them of being opportunists. Oh, you're here only because you want another free meal. Well, he was probably right. Free food is always a good thing. But Jesus wouldn't leave it at just pointing out the truth. He has to give them a lesson as well. Don't work for food that spoils, he says. Instead, work for food that lasts for eternity. Now, that really gets their attention. It sounds pretty good. Eternal food, eternal life, almost too good to be true. So, okay, you've got our interest, they say. But what kind of work do we have to do to get this food? And Jesus says, just believe. Just believe that I am the one that God has sent. Now, that was a little too surprising. It sounds like something for nothing, so there has to be a catch. Jesus is offering such a great prize, the bread of eternal life. And they begin to wonder, who is this guy? What's his game? They're skeptical. Now, I don't really blame them. It's like you really want to believe it, but it's hard to believe. The lottery ticket that you've just been given has the winning numbers on it. Or you get the call from the oncologist, and the oncologist says, it's all clear. But really, what if they're wrong? What if the people who surprised you with this good news are wrong? Maybe that skepticism is part of the reason so many of us find it hard to believe, hard to have faith in the gospel and in the sacraments. That good news comes into our lives, surprises us, even shocks us by making these unbelievable promises of life and wholeness, the promise of forgiveness and love. It's hard to believe that that's a free gift given for us. Most of us are good at, and I'm going to say most of us are too good at staying even in the area of giving gifts and receiving gifts. Inviting over for dinner, being invited over for dinner. Whose turn is it? How do we keep even, making sure that we get what we paid for and that we pay for what we get? And then we hear these promises of God announced to us, and they put the lie to our self-reliance. They put the lie to that tit-for-tat mentality. And at the same time, they surprise us with a promise of even more than we could have hoped for. At baptism, we pour water over a person's head and announce God's promise. God's promise to be with them forever. God's promise to go with them wherever they may go in life. God's promise to hold on to them no matter what life might dish out, even death. The promise to grant them eternal life. Now that's some promise. And the same thing happens at this table. Every time you come to this table, you are promised nothing less than forgiveness, acceptance, wholeness. You are promised life, both now and forever. And the truth about these promises, eternal life and mercy and forgiveness and acceptance and love, the truth is that they are freely given. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't buy it. It is simply God's free gift to you. Communion and baptism are God's word of love and forgiveness given in a form that we can receive. Like I said last Sunday, the sacraments are God's physical, visible words for God's physical, visible people. When the crowd that was following Jesus after that surprising miracle of the loaves and fishes, when that crowd heard such a promise as this, they were as much frightened as they were comforted. Is it too good to be true? So they questioned Jesus, who's offering this surprising promise. What miracle will you perform so that we might believe in you? In other words, prove yourself, Jesus. Make sure we understand. Make sure that we know. Prove yourself. I don't know. That rings a little too true for me. Wouldn't faith be easier if God would just do what God's supposed to do? Wouldn't it be easier to believe if God would just do the miracles that we want God to do, like he did with that 5,000? If we could see that, boy, I wouldn't have any doubts. Then it would be easy to believe if God would just do what God's supposed to do. But God rarely does what we think God is supposed to do. Our God is a God of surprises, a God of reversals, a God of an upside-down kingdom. So rather than do what God's supposed to do, God does the unexpected. Instead of pronouncing judgment in the face of our sins and failures, God offers mercy. Instead of punishment, we receive love. Instead of condemnation, we get forgiveness. Instead of coming in majestic power, God comes in simplicity and human weakness. Instead of giving us just bread, God gives us God's own self, the bread of life. Martin Luther wrote that the whole of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are summed up both succinctly and eloquently in the two words we hear when coming to the table: for you. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. This is the heart of our faith, that the eternal Word, who was with God and who is God from the beginning, God, the creator of heaven and earth, is the same Lord who cares so desperately for us that he gave his life on the cross and gives himself again and again and again to us in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. This might just be the hardest thing for us to accept about the sacraments, that they contain God's surprising, undeserved, unearned gift of God's own self. And it's for us. And this surprise constantly catches us off guard, and we come up helpless. At this table, God's promise comes to us again, just as it did when we were helpless beings getting washed in the waters of baptism. So hear God's surprising and unexpected word of forgiveness and mercy. Remember your baptism. Stretch out your hands to receive and to eat this promise that is for you, the great and wonderful surprise that it is for you. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen.